Shlishi. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, and Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Lo Eile, to these people, to these 601,730 people that were just counted, Techolek ha'oretz, the land will be divided, benachalo, as an inheritance, b'mispar shemois, according to the number of names. And Rashi tells us that when the Pasuk says, to these people, the land will be divided, it is coming to tell us, only these people who were counted, who were over the age of 20 at the time of this counting. However, if somebody will become 20 later on, before the division of Eretz Yisrael, because it took them 7 years to capture and 7 years to divide, so if somebody will become 20 years old before they divided Eretz Yisrael, you might think that he will also receive a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, the Pasuk says, no, lo eile, only to these 601,730 people who were over 20 years old at the time of this counting. If somebody becomes 20 later on, he will not receive a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. And second of all, the Pasuk is telling us that only these people will receive a chelik in Eretz Yisrael, and not their children. For example, let's say one of these people that were counted had 6 children. He will only receive 1 chelik, and the 6 children will divide that 1 portion. Lorav, to a larger shevet, tarba nachalosoi, you shall give a larger portion of inheritance. Velama'at, and to a smaller shevet, tamit nachalosoi, you shall lessen its inheritance. They will receive a smaller portion of land. Because Eretz Yisrael was divided according to people, which means that each person received a certain size of land, therefore a larger shevet that had a larger population will receive a larger portion of land. So Eretz Yisrael was not divided into 12 equal portions, but rather each shevet received the size that they needed according to their population. Ish lefi pekudav, each person according to his counted ones, yuta nachalosoi, shall his inheritance be given. Which means only the people that were counted received a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. And although the land was not divided into equal portions, still, the Pasuk says, Ach begoyrol yecholek ha'oretz. The land will only be divided by lottery. The Nasi would place his hand in a box that contained tickets with the names of each and every shevet written on them, and pull out a name of a shevet, and then place his hand in another box that had tickets with the portions of land written on them. And the correct portion would come up with the name of each shevet, to show that these divisions were done api Hashem. Lishmois matos avosam yincholu. According to the names of their father's house, they will inherit. The Gemara brings down two opinions how Eretz Yisrael was divided, Liyotze Mitzrayim or Liboya Oretz. Liyotze Mitzrayim means according to the people that went out of Mitzrayim. Liboya Oretz means according to the people that entered Eretz Yisrael. For example, if Reuven and Shimon were among the people who left Mitzrayim, and then later on Reuven had 1 son and Shimon had 3 sons, according to the Manda Omar, Liyotze Mitzrayim Nischalko, that it was divided according to the ones who went out of Mitzrayim, Reuven would receive 1 portion, and Shimon would also receive 1 portion. And Reuven's son would inherit his 1 portion, and Shimon's 3 sons would divide his 1 portion. However, according to the Manda Omar, Liboyhi Oretz Nischalko, it was divided according to the ones that entered Eretz Yisrael, Reuven's son would receive 1 portion, and each one of Shimon's sons would receive a separate portion because each one of them were among the group that entered Eretz Yisrael. Manda Omar, who holds Liboya Oretz Nischalka, it was divided according to the ones that entered Eretz Yisrael, learns it out from Pasuk Nun Gimel, Lo Eile Techoleka Oretz, to these people who are entering Eretz Yisrael, the land will be divided. However, the Manda Omar, who holds Liyotze Mitzrayim Nischalka, he learns it out from Pasuk Nun Hei, where it says, Lishmois Matos Avosom, according to the names of their father's house. So we see, it depends on their fathers, the Yotze Mitzrayim. What does the Manda Omar, who holds Liboya Oretz Nischalka, do with the Pasuk, Lishmois Matos Avosom, which seems to be Mashma also, that it is connected to the Yotze Mitzrayim? Rashi tells us that even the Manda Omar, who holds Liboya Oretz Nischalka, also agrees to a certain extent that it was connected to the Yotze Mitzrayim. After Reuven's son received his 1 portion, and Shimon's sons 3 portions, then all 4 of these portions were inherited back to their grandfather, Reuven and Shimon's father, who was dead. Typically, the living inherit the dead. However, over here, the dead inherited the living. These 4 portions would go into Reuven and Shimon's father's estate, and be inherited down to Reuven and Shimon in an equal division of 2 parcels of land to Reuven and 2 to Shimon. Reuven's one son would receive both of his portions, and Shimon's three sons would divide the other two portions. So in actuality, what happened over here was that the number of portions that they received was based on the Bayi Ha'aretz, how many people came into Eretz Yisrael. However, the division was made according to the Yoytze Mitzrayim. So in our case, four people entered Eretz Yisrael, Reuven's one son and Shimon's three sons. So they received four portions. However, these four portions were divided according to the Yoytze Mitzrayim, which were Reuven and Shimon, and therefore Reuven received two portions and Shimon received the other two portions. And the pasuk continues, Al pi agoral, according to the lottery, techolek nachalosoi, his inheritance will be divided, bein rav lema'at, whether for a large shevet, lema'at, or for a smaller shevet. And Rashi explains that the words Al pi agoral come to teach us that the goral actually was able to speak. And when the nasi would pull out a name of a shevet and a portion of land, the goral, the lottery, would actually say, for such and such a shevet should come out such and such a portion. And everything was done over here al pi neis. Zok Rashi pasuk nun gimel, lo'ele techolek ha'oretz, to these people the land will be divided, v'lo'y lepechusim miben esrim, and not to people who were under the age of 20. Af al pi shebo lechlal esrim, b'terem chilek ha'oretz, even though they will reach the age of 20, before the division of Eretz Yisrael, Shehare Sheva Shonim Kovshu V'Sheva Cholku, because for 7 years they captured Eretz Yisrael, and for 7 years they divided it. Le'not Luchelik Ba'oretz Ela Elu Sheish Meos Elef Va'olef. The only ones who took a portion in Eretz Yisrael were these 601,730 who were 20 at the time of this count. But somebody who became 20 later would not receive a chelik. V'Imhoyer Le'echad Mehem Shisha Bonim, and if one of these people would have 6 children. They would only receive the chelik of their father, and the 6 children would divide that one portion. Zok Rashi l'Rav Tarba Nachalosei, l'shevet shehoya meruba buchlusin nasnu chelik Rav, to a shevet that had a large population, he received a larger portion of land. V'afal pi shelo hayu achalokim shavim, although the divisions were not equal, shehari akor lefi ribu hashevet cholku achalokim, because based on the size of the Shvatim were the divisions made. Also Ela Ayide Goral. Still it was not done only through a Goral. And although based on a Goral it could come out that a large Shevet would receive a small portion, or a small Shevet would receive a large portion, and that Rashi tells us, V'ha-Goral Al-Pi Ruach HaKodesh. The Goral was done through Ruach HaKodesh, and everything came out correctly. Kama Shemafurish Baba Basra, like it says in Masechta Baba Basra, Elozar HaKoyin Hoya Malubish Ba'urim V'tumim, Elozar HaKoyin was wearing the Urim V'tumim, Va'omer, and he would say, Beruach HaKodesh, through Ruach HaKodesh, Im Shevet Ploini Oile, if such and such a Shevet will come up, Tchum Ploini Oile Imoi, such and such a portion should come up with him. V'ashvatim Hoyu K'suvim B'yud Beit Piskim, and the Shvatim were written on 12 tickets, V'yud Beis Gvulim B'yud Beis Piskim, and then 12 portions of land were also written on 12 tickets. The Ayin B'Sefer Shari Aharon, who says that this number 12 is Lav Dafka, because Eretz Yisrael was not divided into 12 portions. Since Shevet Reuven and Shevet Gad received a portion of land on the east side of the Yarden, therefore Yud Beis is Lav Dafka. Ubalam B'Kalfi, and they mixed all these in a box. V'Nosi Machnis Yadu L'Toicho, and the Nosi would place his hand inside the box. V'Noitel Shnei Piskim, and he would take 2 tickets. Oyle B'Yadu Pesek Shal Shem Shiftai, it would come up in his hand a ticket with a name of a shevet, upesek shadvul hamafurish loy, and a ticket stating the portion of land that this shevet was to receive. V'ha-goril atzmai hoya teveach, and the goril itself would scream va'omer and say, ani ha-goril olisi, I the goril have come up, legvul ploini, for such and such a portion, l'shevet ploini, for such and such a shevet. Shenemar, like the pasuk says further, al pi ha-goril, through the word of the goril. And Eretz Yisrael was not divided by size, because there are portions of land that are better than others, but rather it was divided according to assessed value. Base korah connected base saw toiv. An unproductive piece of land the size of a base kor would be set off by a smaller portion of land the size of a base saw, since the base saw portion was a much better portion of land. Hakol lefi damim, everything was based on value. Zok Rashi l'shmois matos avoisam, to the names of their fathers' shevet. Elu yotzei Mitzrayim, this is referring to their fathers who went out of Mitzrayim. Shino hakosav nachlazu. The pasuk made different this inheritance mikol hanachlo shebetara, different than all other inheritance in the Torah. Shekol hanachlois hachayim yorshim es hameisim. By all other nachlois, living inherit the dead. V'kan meisim yorshim es hachayim. Over here, the dead inherited the living. Ketzad, how is this? Shnei achim yoytzim Mitzrayim. If two brothers went out of Mitzrayim, for example, Reuven and Shimon, shehayu loy bonim bevaya aretz, and they had children who entered Eretz Yisrael. Lezeh echad. For example, if Reuven had one son, ulezeh shloisha. And for example, if Shimon had three sons, ha'echad not al chelik echad, Reuven's son took one chelik, v'ashloisha notlu shloisha, and the three sons of Shimon took three chalokim. Shenema, like the pasuk says, lo eile techolik ha'oretz. To these people that entered Eretz Yisrael, the land should be divided. So Reuven's one son entered Eretz Yisrael, and Shimon's three sons. So therefore, Reuven's one son took one chelik, and Shimon's three sons took three chalokim. Chozra nachaloson etzel avi avihen. Then their inheritance went back to their grandfather, Reuven and Shimon's father. The chalku akol b'shava, and everything was divided equally, which means then Reuven received two chalokim, and Shimon received the other two chalokim. V'zehu shenemar, and this is what the pasuk means, l'shmois matos avosim yichalu, according to the names of their father's shevet, they will inherit. She'acha shenotlu abonim, after the children took their chelik, chalkuhu lefi ha'ovos, they were then divided according to the ovos, sheyatzu Mitzrayim, the fathers that went out of Mitzrayim. Ve'ilu mitchila chalku, leminyan yotze Mitzrayim, if they would have originally only divided it according to the ones who went out of Mitzrayim, lehayu noitlim elu hadalid, elu shnei chalokim. These four sons would have only taken two portions, one portion for Reuven and one portion for Shimon. Achshav notlu dalad chalokim. However, now they receive four portions. Since we look at the Bayi Ha'aretz, the ones who entered Eretz Yisrael, to determine how many portions they receive. So since four people entered Eretz Yisrael, they received four portions. However, the division was done based on the Yotze Mitzrayim, two for Reuven and two for Shimon. Zok Rashi, ach begoyrol, only through a goyrol, and the word ach is typically an exclusion, it's coming to exclude something. Zok Rashi, yotzu Yeshua v'kolev, it is coming to exclude that Yeshua and Kolev did not receive their portion through a lottery, but rather directly through Hashem. V'chein u'oymer, and so it says in the pasuk in Shoftim, v'yitnu l'kolev es chevron kashadir Moshe, and they gave to Kolev chevron like Moshe said. So Kolev received chevron not through a lottery. The Omer and the Pasuk says concerning Yahushua, Al pi Hashem nosnu loy es ha'ir asher shoal. According to the word of Hashem, they gave him the city that he requested. So he too did not receive his portion through a lottery. Zakrashi matos avoisom, their father shaved, Yotsu gerim ba'avodim. This is coming to exclude that gerim and avodim knanim who were freed do not receive a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Because the Pasuk says, matos avoisom, their father shaved. And Gerim and Avodim's fathers do not have a shevet. Api ha-girl, ha-girl hoya medaber. The girl would actually speak k'moy shepirashti, like I explained earlier. Magid, this comes to teach us sheneschalka beruach hakodesh. All these divisions were done alpi ruach hakodesh. Lekach nemar. That's why the pasuk says alpi Hashem, through the word of Hashem. And it is actually unclear which pasuk Rashi is referring to when he says alpi Hashem, because in this parasha it does not say alpi Hashem. Only al pi hagoro. And the pasuk continues with the counting of Shevet Levi. The Eile Pekudi HaLevi, and these are the counted ones of Levi, Lemishbechoisam, according to their families, Legershon Mishpachas HaGershuni, Lekahos Mishpachas HaKahosi, Lemerori Mishpachas HaMerori. Eile Mishbechois Levi, Mishpachas HaLivni, Mishpachas HaChevroini, Mishpachas HaMachli, Mishpachas HaMushi, Mishpachas HaKorchi, Ukahos Hoiledes Amram, and Kahos had a son by the name of Amram. Rashi earlier told us that four out of the eight mishpachos of Levi were missing and killed from the war against the Shvatim. Because Shevet Levi is comprised of eight families, Gershon's two sons, Livni and Shimi, Kehas's four sons, Amram, Yitzhar, Chevron, and Uziel, and Merori's two sons, Machli and Mushi. And Rashi stated earlier from the Gemara Yushalmis that four out of these eight were missing. And this is what Rashi did not understand, because if you look at the psukim over here, we do find five out of the eight. We find Livni, we find Amram, we find Chevroin, Machli, and Mushi. And the only ones that were missing were Shimi from Gershon, Uziel from Kahos, and also Yitzhar from Kahos. Yitzhar is considered missing, although the pasuk does mention Korach, who was the son of Yitzhar. However, since Korach had two other brothers, Nefeg and Zichri, and they are not mentioned, So two out of the three of the family of Yitzhar was missing. Therefore, Yitzhar can also be considered missing. And that's what Rashi did not understand, where the Gemara Yushalmis got that four families were missing when he only sees three families missing. And the Pasuk continues, V'shem Eshes Amram, and the name of the wife of Amram was Yocheved Bas Levi, Yocheved, the daughter of Levi. Asher Yolda Oysa LeLevi V'Mitzrayim, whom Levi's wife bore to him, to Levi in Mitzrayim. When they came down to Mitzrayim and entered the walls of Mitzrayim, Levi's wife gave birth to Yocheved. Vateled LaAmram, and this Yocheved gave birth to Amram as Aaron ves Moshe ves Miriam Achoisam, Aaron, Moshe, and Miriam their sister. Vayivoled LaAaron, and to Aaron were born as Nodav ves Aviu, Nodav and Aviu, as Elazar ves Isamar, and Elazar and Isamar. Vayomos Nodav Aviu bakrivam eish zara lufnei Hashem. And Nodav and Aviu died when they brought close a strange fire before Hashem. I would just like to mention an interesting observation, that whenever the Torah goes through the family of Levi, it seems to go through Aharon's family very well, but totally skips over Moshe's children. We see this over here where Moshe's children are not mentioned. We also see this in Parshas Va'era by Sheni, where the Torah is speaking about the family of the Leviim. Aharon's children are mentioned, however Moshe's children are not. And also, in Parshas Bamidbar, by Revi, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, it says, Ve'ele toldos Aaron u'Moshe, these are the children of Aaron and Moshe, and only Aaron's children are mentioned. And we also see further on in the Parsha, Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Tezayin, where Moshe asks Hashem that his children should take over his position. And Hashem turns him down and says, Yeshua will take over. So for some reason, there seems to be a pattern over here that Moshe's children are not given the same coverage as Aaron's children. Why is this so? And the pasuk continues, Vayu fukudehem, and their counted ones were Shloisha ve'estrim olef, 23,000. Kol zachar mi ben chodesh v'mola, every male from 1 month and up. Ki lo haspaktu b'seich b'nei Yisrael, because they were not counted among the b'nei Yisrael in the counting from 20 and up. Ki lo niten lohem nachla b'seich b'nei Yisrael, because that counting from 20 and up were for the people who will receive a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. And since Shevet Levi will not receive a chelik, they were not included in that counting, and they were counted separately. And the Mefarshim ask, why did Shevet Levi only number 23,000 at the end of the 40th year? If you look back to Parshas Bamidbar, in the second year, their total was 22,000. How is it possible that they only increased over 38 years by 1,000? And none of them died because of the Avera of the Meraglim, because they did not do that Avera. So how is it possible that they only increased by 1,000 over 38 years? Chizkuni answers that the B'nai Levi carried the Aron, and since one who did not give the proper respect to the Aron was killed, Ha'Aron Hoy Mechala Oysam, the Aron would kill them, and that is why their numbers were very small. We can also answer, based on what Rashi told us earlier, that four families of the Leviim were killed in the war against Klal Yisrael, and since they lost those four families, that is why they only increased by 1,000 over the count in Parshas Bamidbar. Meshech Chochma offers another teretz. He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically wanted Shevet Levi to remain small, since Shevet Levi did not receive a chelik in Eretz Yisrael, and if they were to have a large population, they would have complained that the areas of fields and cities that they received are too small for them. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept them small in order to keep them happy. And also he says, since it was the responsibility of Klal Yisrael to support the B'nai Levi, the children of Levi who were oiskim b'Torah, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want this burden to become too great. And that's why he kept them small and only allowed them to increase 1,000 over 38 years. And the pasuk continues, Ele pekudei Moshe ve'Elazar HaKoyen, these are the ones who were counted by Moshe and Elazar HaKoyen, asher poktu es b'nei Yisrael v'arvois Moav, who counted the b'nei Yisrael by the plains of Moav, al Yardain, near the Yardain, Yerechai, opposite Yerechai. Uve'ele, and among these people, lo'yhoye ishmi b'kudei Moshe v'Aharon HaKoyen, there was not one man from the countings of Moshe and Aharon HaKoyen, asher poktu es b'nei Yisrael b'midbar Sinai, who counted the b'nei Yisrael in Midbar Sinai in the second year that they went out of Mitzrayim. Ki omar Hashem lohem, Moshe musu b'midbar, because Hashem said to them, die you shall die in the Midbar. So these people had already died, and this count was their children. And there was not one person remaining from the first count. except for Kalev ben Yefuneh and Yeshua ben Nun. Zakt Rashi, Posuk Nun Ches, Eile Mishpachos Levi, these are the families of Levi. Chosokan Mishpachas HaShimi, over here we find that the family of Shimi was missing, Vahazi Eli, and the family of Uziel, Uksas Min HaYitzari, and part of the family of Yitzar. Because we do find Korach ben Yitzhar mentioned, however, since his brothers Nefek and Zichri were not mentioned, we can consider that the family of Yitzhar was also lost. And Rashi did not find the fourth family that the Yerushalmi said was missing. Zok Rashi Asher Yolda Oisa LeLevi b'Mitzrayim, whom she bore to Levi in Mitzrayim, Ishtoi Yilodato b'Mitzrayim, Levi's wife gave birth to Yocheved in Mitzrayim. And from here we learn, Leidasa b'Mitzrayim ve'en hayrasa b'Mitzrayim. She gave birth to Yocheved in Mitzrayim, however, she did not conceive Yocheved in Mitzrayim. Kishenichnechzu l'toich ha'chaimo, when they entered the walls of Mitzrayim, Yiladasa, that is when she gave birth to Yocheved. V'hi yishlima minyan shivim. And she, Yocheved, completed the number of 70 people going down to Mitzrayim. Sharei b'froton, i'ata moitzi el shishim v'teisha. Because if you count the names of those who went down to Mitzrayim, you will only come up with the number 69. And it was Yocheved who was born bein achoymois, between the walls of Mitzrayim, that completed the number. She was number 70. And l'chayra, one can ask, that Rashi told us earlier that Arad and Namoin, who were the grandchildren of Binyamin, were conceived in Eretz Yisrael and born in Mitzrayim. So why shouldn't they also be counted as number 71 and 72, just like Yocheved was counted as number 70? The Mefarshim answer that Yocheved was different than Arad v'Namoin. Yocheved was born immediately upon arrival in Mitzrayim. That's why she was counted as one of the Yerdim Mitzrayim. However, Arad v'Namoin, although they were conceived in Eretz Yisrael and were born in Mitzrayim, they were born later on. It could be a few months later. And therefore, they could not be counted as part of the Yerdim Mitzrayim. Zakt Rashi ki lo yaspoktu b'soich b'nei Yisrael, Shevet Levi was not counted among the b'nei Yisrael, liyos nimnim b'nei esrim shana, to be counted with the ones who were counted from the age of 20, uma tam, and what is the reason? Ki lo yinosan lahem nachlo, because they did not receive a chelik in Eretz Yisrael, v'nimnim mi b'nei esrim shana, and the ones who were counted from 20 and up, hayu b'nei nachlo, they did receive a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Shenema, like the Pasuk says earlier, ish lefi pekudav yuta nachalosai. Each person that was counted received a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. And since Shevet Levi did not receive a chelik, they were not counted together with those people. Zakt Rashi uve'ele lehoya ish, among these people who were counted, there was not one man who was from the first counting, because they all died. So Rashi is medayik the word ish. Only the men died. Aval al hanoshim lo nigzera gezeras hamaraglim. However, on the women, the decree to die because of the sin of the maraglim was not decreed upon the women. Lefi shehein hoyu mechavivos es haoretz, because they loved the land. Hanoshim omrim nitna roish v'nashuva mitzrayim. The men said, "Let us appoint a leader and return to Mitzrayim." However, v'hanoshim omrois tino alonu achuza. The women said, "Give us an achuza, give us a possession in Eretz Yisrael. We want to go to Eretz Yisrael." And therefore, they did not die. Lehoya ish, there was no man that lived. However, the women did live. Lekach nismecha parshas b'nei slavchad lekan. That is why the parsha of the b'nei slavchad was placed adjacent to this parsha. Because the next parasha speaks about how the B'nai Selefchad desired a chelek, a portion in Eretz Yisrael. And since they loved Eretz Yisrael, their parasha was placed next to this parasha that discusses how the women loved Eretz Yisrael too. Because only the ish, the men died, and not the women. And the parasha continues with the episode of the B'nai Selefchad. Vatekravna B'nai Selefchad, and the daughters of Selefchad drew near. And Selefchad was Ben Chefer, the son of Chefer, Ben Gilad, who was the son of Gilad. Ben Mochir, the son of Mochir, who was Ben Menashe, the son of Menashe, Lemishpachos Menashe ben Yosef, to the families of Menashe, the son of Yosef, Ve'ele Shemois ben Oisav, and these were the names of the Benois Selefchad, Machla, Noya, Chogla, Milka, and Tirtza. And Rashi is bothered once the Pasuk already says that Selefchad came from the family of Menashe, Ben Menashe. Why does it have to repeat and say Lemishpachos Menashe ben Yosef? And Rashi answers, this is to highlight to us the connection between the B'nai Selefchad and Yosef. Just like Yosef loved Eretz Yisrael, and therefore commanded his brothers to take his bones out of Mitzrayim and to bury him in Eretz Yisrael, so too the B'nai Selefchad loved Eretz Yisrael, and that is why they asked for a possession in the land of Eretz Yisrael. And the Emek Netziv asks, how do we know that the Bnei Slavchad loved Eretz Yisrael just by the fact that they wanted a chelik in Eretz Yisrael? Maybe they just wanted a portion of property. What's the raya that they loved Eretz Yisrael? And secondly, Rashi's reason for telling us why it says again, L'mishpachos Menashe ben Yosef, to highlight the connection between the Bnei Slavchad who loved Eretz Yisrael and Yosef who loved Eretz Yisrael, to teach us that it would have been sufficient to write Ben Menashe ben Yosef. Why does it have to say Ben Menashe L'mishpachos Menashe ben Yosef? And the Emek Netziv answers that there were two parts of Shevet Menashe. Part of them took a chelik me'eber ha-yardin on the east side of the Yarden, and the other half took a portion in Eretz Yisrael. The ones who took on the east side of the Yarden obviously did not have a love for Eretz Yisrael. However, the ones who waited and took in Eretz Yisrael, they had a love for Eretz Yisrael. If the Bnei Slavchad just wanted a portion of land, they just wanted property, they could have asked for a portion on the east side of the Yarden. However, by the fact that they specifically asked for the land in Eretz Yisrael, shows their love for Eretz Yisrael. And this is what the pasuk means. L'mishpachos Menashe ben Yosef, the Bnei Slavchad loved Eretz Yisrael, just like the mishpacha of Menashe, the half of Shevet Menashe, who took a chelik in Eretz Yisrael, who they too loved Eretz Yisrael, ben Yosef, they were all like Yosef, who also loved Eretz Yisrael. So Yosef, half of Shevet Menashe, and also the Bnei Slavchad had a special love for Eretz Yisrael. And the pasuk continues, Vata'amoidno, and they stood Lifnei Moshe, before Moshe, V'lifnei Elazar HaKoyen, and before Elazar HaKoyen, V'lifnei HaNesiim, and in front of the Nesiim, V'cholo Edo, and the whole assembly, Pesach Oel Moed, at the entrance of the Oel Moed, Lamar saying. And Rashi tells us, it cannot be that they went to Moshe, and Moshe did not know, and afterwards they went to Elazar, and afterwards to the Nesiim. Because if Moshe did not know, how would Elazar know? Therefore, we must invert the pasuk and read it like this. They first went to the Eda, and when the Eda did not know, they went to the Nesiim. And after that, they went to Elazar, and when Elazar did not know, they went to Moshe. And Rashi brings down a second shot that they actually went to all these people together who were sitting together in the Beis Medrash. And they said, Avinu meis ba midbar, our father Slavchad died in the midbar. He was not part of the assembly who gathered and fought with Hashem by the Eda of Korach. Because he died with his own sin. He was not a choyte umachti aserabim. He did not cause other people to sin, but rather he died in his own sin. Rabbi Akiva says that he was the Mekoshesh, the one who gathered wood on Shabbos, and Reb Shimon says he was part of the Ma'apilim, the group that decided that even though Hashem decreed that they will all die in the Midbar, they said, we want to go into Eretz Yisrael, and they tried to go, and the Amalekim killed them. So he was either the Mekoshesh or part of the Ma'apilim, Uvanim loy hayuloy, and he did not have any sons. And therefore they said, Lama yigar Hashem avinu b'seich mishpachtoi. Why should the name of our father be omitted from his family, ki ein loy ben, just because he does not have any sons? If he would have a son, then the son would receive a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. And by that, his name and the name of his family would continue by them having a portion in Eretz Yisrael. However, now that he does not have any sons, why should his name be omitted from his father's family? T'nalanu achuza b'seich achei avinu, therefore, give us a possession among our father's brothers. Vayakrav Moshe es mishpatan lefnei Hashem, and Moshe brought their case before Hashem. And Rashi tells us that either HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already told Moshe Rabbeinu this halacha, however Moshe forgot this halacha because he was punished for saying to Klal Yisrael, v'hadavar asher yikshe mikem takrivun elai, anything, any question that is difficult for you, you shall bring to me. And since he did not say you should bring it before the Shechina, therefore he was punished and he forgot this halacha. Rashi says a second pshat that this halacha was never said to Moshe Rabbeinu because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to wait until the Bnei Slavchad asked their question. Because Megalgalin Tzchus Agidei Zakai, Hashem causes good things to happen through good people. And therefore, since the Bnei Slavchad loved Eretz Yisrael, he waited until they asked their question to say the parsha of Nachala. Zokt Rashi, Posuk Aleph, L'mishpachos Menashe ben Yosef, Loma Nemar, why does it say L'mishpachos Menashe ben Yosef V'aloi kvar Nemar ben Menashe? Once it says ben Menashe, it does not have to say L'mishpachos Menashe ben Yosef. El Olay Melecho, this is to tell you Yosef Chivev Es Haaretz. Yosef loved Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar, like the Pasuk says, V'ha'alisem Es Asmoisa Mizeh. He told his brothers to take out my bones from Mitzrayim and bring it to Eretz Yisrael. Ubenoisav and his daughters, the Benois Salavchad, Chavavu es Haoretz, they too loved Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar, like the Pasuk says, Tino lanu achuza, give us a possession in Eretz Yisrael. So since they both loved Eretz Yisrael, therefore the Torah is highlighting the connection between the Benois Salavchad and Yosef. And now Rashi is bothered. That answers why it has to say Yosef. But why does it have to say everybody in between? Why does it have to say Ben Chefer, Ben Gilad, Ben Mocher, Ben Menashe? This whole lineage was already said earlier in Perik Chavav when the family of Menashe was counted. So why is it repeated over here? Zak Rashi, Ulilamedcha, and this is to teach you Shehoyukulam Tzadikim, that all of them were Tzadikim. The Benoit Salafchad, Chefer, Gilad, Mocher, and Menashe. Because whenever we find a person that his actions and the actions of his fathers are unclear, the Torah does not tell any details about them, if they were tzaddikim or rishoyim, and the Torah tells us detail about one of them, that he was a great person, and the Torah praises him, this tells us about the whole lineage that each one of them is a tzaddik ben tzaddik. And since we know over here that Yosef was a tzaddik, this teaches us that so were the Bnei Salafchad, Chefer, Gilad, Mocher, and Menashe. And that is the reason why it says the whole lineage to tell us that they are all tzaddikim. However, Vim Yichasoy Lignai, if the Torah tells us about one of them a disgraceful act, Kigoin Bo Yishmol ben Nesanya ben Elishama, Yishmol the son of Nesanya, the son of Elishama, came and killed Gedaliah ben Achikam, Biyadua, it is known, Shekohan is Korim Imay Rishoyim Hoyu, that everybody mentioned with him were Rishoyim. And therefore, not only was Yishmael a Rasha, but also Nesanya and Elishama. Zok Rashi Machlo Noya, the second daughter of Tzilafchad was Noya, Ulahalon Hu Omer. However, further in Parshas Maaseh, the order is changed. And it says, Vatiyena Machlo Tirza. Tirza is counted second. Magid, this comes to teach us, Shekulon Shekulai Zukazu, that they were all equally important. Lefikach Shana Esidron, that is why the Torah mixes around their order. And this is similar to Rashi in Parshas Va'era, Perik Vav, Pasuk Chavav, where there Rashi tells us, sometimes it says Aaron u'Moshe, sometimes it says Moshe and then Aharon, to tell you that they were equal. Here too, the order is mixed up to tell you that they were equally important. Zak Rashi, Lefnei Moshe v'Lefnei Elazar, the Benois Salafchad came before Moshe and Elazar. It does not say they came before Aharon. Magid Shele Amdu Lefneim Elo B'Shnasu Arborim. This tells us that this incident happened in the 40th year, Achar Shemes Aharon, after Aharon died, and that's why he is not mentioned over here. Lefnei Moshe, before Moshe, V'achar Kach Lefnei Elazar, is it possible that they came before Moshe and first afterwards went to Elazar? Efshir Moshe Lo Yoda, Elazar Yodea? Is it possible that if Moshe did not know, Elazar would know? Elo, rather, Sires HaMikro V'Darsheu, you should invert the Pasuk and then interpret it, Divrei Rabbi Yoshia, these are the words of Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yoshia learned that you must first say that they came before the Eda, then before the Nesiim, then before Elazar, and then before Moshe. Abba Chonon Mishum Rabbi Elazar Oimer, Abba Chonon, in the name of Rabbi Elazar, says, Beveis Medrash Hayu Yoshim V'Amdu Lefnei Kulam. They were all in the Beis Medrash, and the Benois Salafchad stood before all of them together. We find a similar Rashi in Parshas Ba'al Oischa, Perik Tes, Pasuk Vav, by the Parsha of Pesach Sheni, where there too, the people came before Moshe and Aharon, and Rashi asks, is it possible that if Moshe did not know, that Aharon would know? And the answer is over there, the second teretz which we mentioned over here, that they were all together in the Beis Medrash. However, Rashi over there does not bring down the other pshat of inverting the Pasuk. Why does Rashi over here bring down both pshatim, and over there only one pshat? Zok Rashi v'hu loy haya, he was not part of the assembly of Korach who fought against Hashem. L'fisha hayu bois loymar b'chetoy meis, since they wanted to say that he died in his own avera, nizkaku loymar, that's why it was necessary for them to say loy b'chet misloinanim, or some have the girsa loy b'chet misoinanim. He did not die with the sin of the misoinanim in Parshas Ba'al Oischa, v'loy ba'adas Korach, and he did not die with the sin of Korach Shehitzu al HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who incited Klal Yisrael against Hashem. Ela bechetoi levadoi meis, he died by his own sin, v'lo hichdias acherim imoi, and he did not cause other people to sin. Rabbi Akiva Omer Mekoshish Eitzim Hoya. Rabbi Akiva says that Salafchad was the one who gathered wood on Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon Omer Min HaMa'apilim Hoyu. He was from the ones who were the Ma'apilim. Ma'apilim means the ones who strengthened themselves in order to push further and go into Eretz Yisrael against the will of Hashem. And they were killed by the Amalekim. Zok Rashi Loma Yigor Hashem Avinu. Why should the name of our father be omitted? Anu B'makim Ben Omdos. Since there are no sons, we take the place of a son. And if you will tell us that girls are not considered offspring, then Tisyabem Imenu Liyavam, our mother should have married the Yavam. Because the halacha is that if somebody dies without any children, the wife of this dead person must marry the dead person's brother. And that is the din of Yibum. However, if there are children, then the din of Yibum does not apply. The Benoit Salafchad were saying that if you do not consider us offspring in order to receive a Yerusha, a Nachla, a Chelek in Eretz Yisrael, then we are not considered like children. And therefore, when our father Salafchad died, our mother should have really went and married Salafchad's brother with the din of Yibum, because it should be considered as if he did not have any children. Zok Rashi ki ein loy bein, because Salafchad did not have any sons. Ha'im hoya loy bein, loy hoya toives klum. But if Salafchad were to have sons, then the Bnei Salafchad would not have said anything. Magid, this teaches us, Shechachmanios hayu, that they were wise. They were wise in the fact that they understood that daughters do not inherit from their father when their father leaves over sons. Zok Rashi, Vayakrev Moshe es Mishpaton, Moshe brought their case before Hashem. Nis'alma halacha mimenu, this halacha was forgotten and concealed from Moshe Rabbeinu. The Kan, and over here, Nifra, he was punished, Al Shanot al Atorah, because he took the crown, which means he assumed authority for himself. Loimar, to say, Vahadovra Shayikshmi Kem Takrivun Eli, anything that will be difficult for you, you should bring to me. He should have said Takrivun Lufnei Ashchina, you should bring it before Hashem. Since he said Takrivun Eli, therefore he was punished and he forgot this halacha. And the Maskil of David says that it was specifically this halacha that was forgotten, because this halacha would cause a greater embarrassment to Moshe Rabbeinu, because it was a halacha that five girls knew the answer to, and Moshe Rabbeinu did not know. Davar Acher, Rashi says another pshat, Ru'uya hoisa parasha zuli kosev al yedei Moshe. This parasha should have been said like the rest of the Torah, through Moshe. Elo shezochu b'noi slavchad, the b'noi slavchad merited v'nichtava al yodon, and it was written through them. It was only written after they asked their question. And we find a similar Rashi to this by the parasha of Pesach Sheni, where the people over there wanted to bring the Pesach even though they were Tamei. So there too, the parasha was not said until they asked their question what to do when they were Tamei. And this Rashi is in Perek Tes, Pasuk Zayin, in Parashas Baal Yisrael.